I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to our show. It is Rop and Sook. We're your sports bros.
I was listening to Mike's Sports North there.
Yeah.
And I saw...
What'd you hear?
Well, I saw the earlier today that my man Chet... Chet Holmgren, who looks, you know, or actually sounds like he should be an 80s, like, TV bully. I saw today that he signed with the Zags, and I looked him up today. I was like, oh, number one recruit. That guy is the least, like, central casting-wise,
he's the least assuming.
Least assuming number one high school player of all time.
He is skinny as all get out.
And weird, just like,
well, he's 7'1".
And he's goofy kind of looking.
He's a goofy white kid from Minnesota. Who, when you watch him play, you go, oh my God, he can do that.
And I haven't seen any
watch highlights of him. Dude's an absolute beast.
Well, I would assume so. He's the number one player, number one high school player in the country.
Like, but he looks like,
are we sure he doesn't suck?
I don't even know.
Well, he's the number one. Has there ever been
They compare him to?
Number one player in the high school that sucks? Like
Zach Collins.
Oh.
Please don't say that.
I'm kidding.
That's a good question. We need to find the number one basketball recruit out of high school. I'm sure that list is out there. And let's see how good they all were. Yeah, I would imagine they go to college and do well, but NBA?
Well, I remember like DeJuan Wagner, you know, and but you still make it to the NBA.
Nerlens Noel?
Yeah, like I get that didn't end up being LeBron James, but Nerlens Noel is phenomenal. Like, I mean, come on. That guy's had a 10-year career
in
the NBA. But
well,
I am watching highlights of him, and it's just, he's, for as big as he is, it's kind of like Bol Bol. You can't really look away because he just is kind of so gangly, but it's quite impressive. He is not a big stiff. Far from it. The guy can move and dribble. It's just, there's no way if you saw him walk into a room or you saw a photo of him, you'd be like, that's clearly the number one player in the country.
Well, he is 7'1", though.
Yes.
So that would be a tell.
But George Mirosan was 7'2", and let's not act like George was super skilled.
Do you know who they compare that guy to? Chet. And by the way, his name's Chet Holmgren.
Chet Holmgren, yeah.
He should be a quarterback.
Probably, although it'd be awkward to see a 7'1 guy back there slinging the rock.
They compare him to Kristaps.
Okay, I can see that. You know, 7-footer, but not a traditional big. And by the way, he's got to put on 150 pounds. Otherwise, he's going to have to be a perimeter player because there's zero chance that guy could bang with the bigs even in college. I don't know how much he weighs. I thought maybe you were going to go with a Kevin Durant because that's kind of the body. And Durant's put on a bunch of weight since going into the NBA, but he looks like Kevin Durant at Texas. He's that kind of thin.
Well, he's young.
Yeah. He can kind of dunk without really jumping.
His name's Chet.
Yeah. He kind of gets up on his tippy toes a little bit and he can throw down.
Okay, where was I? Here is what is coming up. Tonight in the club, the oldest American has died. Oh. And whatever happened to Rick Steves?
Rick Steves? Should I know Rick Steves?
You don't know Rick Steves?
Should I?
What the travel guy?
Oh, okay. The OPB guy, right? He would always do like the Sunday morning show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rick Steves, man.
I just didn't know. I thought that was Stevens.
No, his name's Rick Steves. Steves.
Okay.
Yeah.
He would be on right before Thomas the Tank Engine, and I would watch that and then have to go in and watch the others.
Love me some Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, I've seen so many damn episodes of that. That Sir Topham Hatt was a real ass.
When Mike chimed in there, I thought he was going to say, love me some Rick Steves.
No.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
You don't know Rick Steves either? He looks at me like he should. Doesn't? I thought everybody knew Rick Steves.
I do. I just wasn't 100% familiar with the
Tell
name.
Me, what percentage of U.S. Americans know Rick Steves?
I'll bet you that there is
Is he less of a household name than I thought?
I think he is less of a household name, but if you're going down like my road.
I looked him up. I have never seen him before in my life.
Well, you may not have seen him, but he's
familiar
got
with the show.
All of the travel, any travel literature that you buy typically has his name on it. Like, he is cornered the travel market. Like, the guy's just a world traveler.
But this is my point. I think there's a ton of people like me that were like, oh yeah, the travel guy. I've seen his show or I've read his book, but the name itself, I don't know if that elicits the reaction that you think it does.
Also, I'm not sure that travel literature is as much of a market as it used to be.
Maybe not. But, you know, like Rand McNally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of like what Rick Steves has. That's kind of what he's grown into, you know?
He's a guy with two first names, though. Can you really trust him?
Well, he's...
Well, Steves. It's not Steve. It's Steves.
Rick's Steves.
Nice to meet you. Steves Rick.
Steves Rick.
It's an odd thing.
Well, anyway, that's in the club, whether you like it or not. Okay. This hour, the rich soccer clubs want to leave the poor soccer clubs. We have to discuss this. And the Hot 5 at 5 right now.
Oh!
Hot topics. Hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Watchdogs over the Metropolitus.
Number 5.
Veteran quarterback Alex Smith has retired at the age of 37.
Yeah, and this was not a shocker. That leg was not something that was going to allow him to be, you know, what he once was. He was going to be a fill-in stopgap for a team. No one wanted him to be the starter. And I think this was, because he even said he probably had some snaps left in him, but this was more about him kind of conquering what no one thought was possible of getting back and playing meaningful football. Now he can walk off in the sunset and try to live a normal, healthy life and do what he wants.
He did consider signing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And like you said, he does have, says he has plenty of snaps left in, but he just wants to move on. In 16 seasons, 99 wins, 67 losses and a tie. And a cool fun fact, Alex Smith threw 14 TDs and just 2 picks in his playoff run.
And I did declare earlier in the show that Alex Smith is the greatest game managing quarterback of all time.
And number I disagree four, with that.
He is the benchmark.
It is Bob Greasy that is the benchmark.
Well, Bob Greasy did win a Super Bowl attempting 7 passes, but it was a different game. I'm saying modern day, it's Alex Smith.
Qualifier. The number one high school basketball recruit in the class of 2021 has chosen his path. He is going to college and he has chosen Gonzaga. Chet Holmgren was pondering the G League route, but ultimately chose the Zags over schools like Ohio State, Michigan, Georgetown, Memphis, North Carolina, and Minnesota. His daddy played ball for the Gophers, apparently. He's a 7'1 center. He can shoot the three. Ultimately, he played high school ball with Jalen Suggs, so Suggs obviously most influenced his decision. And then Suggs announced today that he will be entering the NBA draft. He clearly hates Chet Holmgren and does not want to play with him anymore.
You lose a 5-star kid and you get another one. And that's kind of what Gonzaga has become, which is why I said they ain't going anywhere.
Interesting player, though. Chet Holmgren. I'll tune in to watch him play.
7'1" guy that can dribble and handle the ball and shoot. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Absolutely. And by the way, weighs 7 pounds.
You know me. I love my bigs.
You do. Although he's not a big.
He's 7'1".
He's not playing down low.
Seahawks just signed him, and now there's a warrant out for his arrest. Alden Smith wanted on second-degree battery charges. The incident was Saturday in New Orleans, just 2 days after signing a one-year contract with Seattle. Smith allegedly choked a victim unconscious after an altercation in a coffee house.
On the plus side, apparently it was an acquaintance, so he's choking familiar people to him. Unbelievable. Some dudes just can't get out of their own way. How do you choke someone out in a coffee shop? Switch to decaf, my man.
The Seahawks say they are aware of the situation and are monitoring.
And if he's guilty, you know, they just thanks for coming. The career at this point is over, which is sad because the guy's a phenomenal talent. And after a bunch of years out of the league, had a nice productive year in Dallas. Just can't keep his hand out of the cookie jar. Or in this case, his arm around someone's neck.
Number two. We be getting a clearer picture of Deshaun Watson's defense after his attorneys released a response to all the allegations of sexual misconduct today. They do want a jury trial. Among their claims, women continued to work with Watson even after these incidents. Women told others they just wanted cash and they have since scrubbed their social media of this evidence. And some women lied about their trauma from the events, and others lied about the number of sessions they had with Mr. Watson.
And I'll tell you what, this is if any of this is true, the whole case falls apart. And best way to put this, I would feel terrible if there are some women in there with real accusations, because if it turns out that a couple of them were lying, the whole thing, they will all be lumped in together. And when you have 22 people and, you know, you get two or three of them that are lying, it doesn't mean that the rest are. But this whole thing will tumble if it turns out that a handful of these gals are full of crap and they were doing this for money.
Number one.
And number one is that it is a tough week for your Portland Trailblazers. They have the Clippers and Nuggets back to back tomorrow and Wednesday, and then surging Memphis on Friday and Sunday. Damian Lillard still sidelined with that hamstring injury. He is not going to play tomorrow. And now neither is Yusuf Nurkic.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What's up with Nurk now? He's still dealing with the...
Injury management.
Okay. Injury management against the Clippers?
This is correct.
So injury management against one of the hottest teams in the NBA.
This is correct.
Well,
you are correct, sir.
All right.
You got it right twice.
I guess.
Kevin Durant is hurt again, this time a thigh contusion. They say they do not really know the severity, but he will not play tomorrow.
I am convinced that the Nets are just, they're all just taking turns, sitting out, and they're just going to go into the playoffs, the most rested team in the NBA.
Well, right now, aren't all of the players hurt at the same time?
All of the players are hurt.
Yeah, their injury list is like 7-8 players long.
Because Durant came back, and as soon as Durant came back, then Harden went down with the 10-day hammy, and now Durant's back. What's up with Kyrie?
Durant's now out again.
Yeah, I know. But is Kyrie's out?
I don't know. I think he's playing, but I thought I saw his name on an injury list too. So
has a bar mitzvah to attend.
I do love that his
personal reasons.
His personal reasons when they didn't make the trip out here, which they won anyways, coincided with his birthday. And by the way, the only saving grace for Portland right now is that the Mavericks can't pull their head out either. And that's the only reason that you're not in the seventh spot at this point.
Yeah, they're basically the same.
Yes.
Dallas and Portland. And neither are bringing much energy to the table right now. And they're both going, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. So it's just weird. The Lakers, Anthony Davis could be back as early as tonight. So that's terrible news out west.
Well, you know, if Davis and LeBron come back and they're healthy, then they're the favorites. But the Clippers have got it going right now. That Rondo deal was a huge, huge addition for them. And they've looked really good, and they're turning it on.
And there is your Hot 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Coors Light. Live sports are back. Always better with an ice cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. So rich soccer teams are getting greedy. That's the headline. And it's a big deal. And peeps are talking about it.
The soccer peeps. Soccer Mike is not happy about
it. Oh, Soccer Mike is definitely not happy. He will get the pulpit coming up next on The Fan.
It's time for Who's Leading the Charge? A look under the hood at the coaches, players, and teams getting it done. brought to you by Battery Exchange.
Pivots, passes wing right for Neil Aquina. Back to Randall. Wing right three at the shot clock. Buzzer! Buried it! He got it, and that might have been the dagger for Julius Randall. At the moment, it's 33 points and an 8-point advantage for the New York Knicks in overtime.
Okay.
That's okay.
I mean, I didn't even listen to who what,
that was
why?
Julius Randle.
Oh, okay. Is he good?
He is very good. And
great.
He's having a very nice season. And he's
I know
making,
he played well against the Blazers.
He's
I don't watch the Knicks.
And he's making the Knicks relevant again.
What? They're relevant?
Yeah. Yeah, the Knicks are relevant.
Playoff contender.
Yeah.
Yeah. They must be leading the charge then.
He's sixth seed in the East right now.
You know who the sixth seed in the West is? Don't answer that.
Yeah, I do.
Battery Exchange, over 14 area locations to serve you. Free electrical system checks for your vehicle. Battery Exchange with thenex.com.
Yes. Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Soccer news. Soccer news? You ready for soccer news?
No, but let's do it anyways.
Soccer world upended.
I know. For a brief moment today, I actually, I can't say I cared. I paid attention to soccer for like 10 minutes as I read an article, and then I stopped caring.
Well, this is interesting, and not you don't have to be into soccer to understand why, but it's just your, you know, the age-old sports greed.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be sports. It's just your age-old rich get richer greed coming into play in sports yet again, and we see this all the time in the U.S. But overseas, apparently,
yeah, I think like college realignment, but with more money.
So, 12 of Europe's biggest soccer teams are plotting a move that would completely remake club competition over there.
Yeah, they'd be more, by the way, like an American sort of league, right? There would be, it would be more of a traditional.
That's well, again, that's the whole point.
Yeah, yeah.
So those clubs announced. Plans they this dropped yesterday to break away from UEFA,
correct,
Champions League, and form their own international competition called the European Super League.
Ah, yes, the dreaded Super
ESL.
Yes.
Now their plan is for 15 teams to get automatic annual spots in this competition, with 5 more slots to be up for grabs based on performance.
And most of these are like these are even being a very amateur soccer fan. They're huge names. You had AC Milan, Arsenal, Man City, Man United, Real Madrid. I mean, these were some big.
Would you like the list?
Big heavy hitters. I think we're good there. Do you care about the Hotspur? I think we're. You get the point.
It's the big six in England.
Yeah. All the ones you've heard of.
It's the top three in Spain and the top three in Italy have committed.
Yeah. And then
Germany and France have said no so far, which is a big sticking point because that means no Bayern Munich. It means no Dortmund. It means no Paris Saint-Germain, PSG, which are huge teams.
Yeah. I know because they make Jordan products as well, and it's always a big deal when they do.
So, according to this article, the move achieves two things for these big boy clubs. Okay, first, it would eliminate the risk of missing out on any Champions League payday by having a down season, right? Because they have relegation there.
Yes.
You don't play well, you get relegated out to another league.
Which, by the way, I think that's awesome. I love that, and I think it would be great if we had something like that in the United States.
Second, it would increase the pay itself by a lot. The founding clubs would get more than $400 million per team as part of the launch, more than 4 times what even the European champion got last year.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory. All the big boys are like, hey, why are we supporting these other crappy-ass teams?
Yep.
Let's all go do our own thing, and we'll all share the money between us 12 or 15 or whatever, and not between those other crap monsters.
Yeah, imagine, and we don't have anything like that because we, you know, the United States is such a big place, but I would imagine this is like if the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Patriots, the Celtics, the Lakers all got together and was just like, yeah, we're going to do our own thing. And sorry, Milwaukee, here's the bird.
You know what this is? This is the dream college football super conference.
Yes, and by the way, that's I saw that is. Stuart, I think it was Stuart Mandel was talking about that, and there's a lot of people in college football that do think in the next like 8 to 10 years that this is coming to college football. It would be more than the, you know, the just a handful of teams. But you could easily see this happening where they talked about what the, at one point, the four super conferences, or was it the three 16-team super conferences? This is going to eventually happen to college football, and it's going to come with a lot of hurt feelings. It's going to come with a lot of people losing a bunch of money, a lot of fans that are ending up with the raw end of the deal. But eventually the bigs are going to do this in college because it's going to be more money, which is exactly why these guys over here in Europe are doing it.
So what I didn't know, because I know not of European soccer, was the Premier League is not that old.
I don't know if I knew how long the Premier League has been around.
So they're saying this. This is a pretty good article in Slate. Mm-hmm. It's by Alex Kirshner. And he's writing, and I'll read some of it to you about how this aligns with what the NFL is doing and ultimately college football. But he says that the modern era of European football kicked off in 1992 when the English Big Five clubs, Manchester United, Liverpool, Tottenham, Everton, and Arsenal, broke from the giant and relatively non-commercialized football league to start the Premier League. So this is already this is why the Premier League exists in the first place.
Yeah, they did this.
Although the Premier League does keep its connection with the Football League and still help all the small teams and has relegation and promotion and all that kind of
stuff. Well, that's where the NFL comes in. So this guy writes, while plotting their new venture, English soccer bigwigs looked across the Atlantic for inspiration. Three of the big club executives from those days admired the NFL's business and had sampled the American game in person. One of them, for example, was a fan of Don Shula's Dolphins and our boy Bob Greasy.
Yes.
Another one loved O.J. Simpson, whatever. These connections and more are chronicled in The Club, A Definitive History of the Premier League's Rise. In that book, Wall Street journalists chronicle how the Premier League's founders hatched it with TV in mind. Broadcast partner Sky Sports put on long pregame and postgame shows that made each television match an NFL-like event. Premier League teams made their stadiums less primitive and sought to turn them into American-style entertainment venues. The new league even tried out cheerleaders in its early days, though that idea did not translate across the pond. Though the NFL cares a lot about attendance, licensing, merchandise, and any other line of business it can dream up, its golden goose is TV. And it turned out the only group in the world that understood that as well or better than the NFL did was the Premier League. So if the NFL is the best business analog to European soccer, college football might be its closest cultural match. The two share about a million similarities, not the least of which is the tribalism of their fans. And he goes on about the different similarities in European soccer and college football. But he says college football, as it turns out, also helps lay the path European soccer is now following. Football was always the sport that bankrolled the rest of the athletic department, but it wasn't until the 1980s that college football became the mint it is today. It was then that a handful of teams went to the Supreme Court to break the NCAA's grip on football TV rights, ultimately forming a breakaway group of their own to assert control of their broadcast rights after they tired of sharing the spotlight and dollars with less popular universities. So that's exactly what these soccer clubs are doing.
Yeah.
So they modeled their first move by what the NFL was doing, and they've modeled this move based on what college football has done.
Well, and
shockingly, it all comes back to money and greed.
They said that each founding member team, they're going to get an advance of
like $3 billion.
No, that was euros. They said it was like $4.2 billion because, the euros, it was three something euro. But you're basically getting $4 billion. The one that I was reading, though, that I thought was interesting is that this basically does away with the Champions League. Because is it UEFA that said that, nope, you do this, you're not playing in any of our tournaments, and that FIFA may ban them. If you play in this, they may ban you from international competitions, including the World Cup.
Yep.
So if you're a Barcelona.
And there's other things, too, where the domestic leagues, like the Premier League or La Liga in Spain, might not allow these teams to play in their league.
Yeah.
Because the Super League came out and was like, oh, no, they'll still play domestic competition on weekends. And they'll play Super League games on Tuesday and Wednesday.
You're saying,
and these leagues are saying, if you do this, you're going to kill our league. So no. And there's also talk of if they were to leave the Super League, they would rejoin the domestic pyramid at tier 5. They do have to be promoted five times to get back to the level they were at.
I want
to
see.
So they're trying everything they can to stop this from happening by giving threats
you think
and
that'll
making
work?
Mandates.
Well, that's a, I'll tell you what, man. If they're willing to go through with that, if you're like, if you're one of the top players in the world, and if you're on one of those teams, you are one of the top players in the world.
Correct.
Imagine being banned from the World Cup. Imagine not being able to represent your home country.
It's wild.
I'll tell you what, this is, and I understand it's the cash grab, and $4 billion makes a lot of people, you know, pretty salty about, you know, doing your own thing. But what are the, do the players have any say of this? Do the player, or do you have the ability to be like, I'm not playing for you, not with these sort of consequences?
Well, you do. I mean, James Milner from Liverpool came out today after their game and said he was against it. And the Liverpool manager came out and kind of had a neutral interview, but basically it was like, yeah, this doesn't seem like the best idea.
And you wonder too if this is just some big balls posturing. You come out swinging hot like this, and then maybe there's a middle ground where, you know.
Well, I think ultimately, don't they say to the World Cup, like, you need our guys, you need us. Like, that's the thing, is they hold all the cards. They're the best soccer clubs in the world.
Yeah,
they're the ones that have the biggest fan bases. What, you can fight it all you want, but what are you going to do with soccer if you don't have those clubs? That's going to be the Premier League.
Well, it'd be the players, like in the World Cup. I wonder if with the World Cup.
I think, by the way, this could be wrong. I think FIFA already said, if you are in this where you're not playing, like, yeah, they're not saying we're thinking about it. It's already been mandated.
Yeah. They're saying that you are going to be banned from international any, yes, FIFA competition, which, yeah, would include,
but do
the
you,
World Cup.
Do you think that that matters?
I don't. Well, I do think it matters.
I think it matters to the players a ton.
No, I think it matters to the players, but it doesn't matter to these clubs. They don't care.
But if the players on these clubs can't play for their country, they're not going to play for these clubs.
I
disagree with that.
Not being a huge soccer guy, I do know that the World Cup for these guys is
it's enormous.
Huge effing deal.
But this is where they make their money. These guys make so much freaking money on these, yeah, clubs. They hold all the cards. Now, it may be a bluff, but from what I've read, this has been coming for 30 years. Everybody in soccer has known that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why everyone's surprised.
When did they say they were planning to start this?
This year? Yeah, that was, well, they said as soon as possible, but then I saw a report that said August. They were looking to start in August, which is when most of the European leagues start their season.
Because I saw that two of the top four teams in the
Champions League.
Yeah, in the Champions League, two of the top four teams right now would be booted.
Yep.
They're like, eh. Imagine, like, you finally work your way up and, I don't know, that would be like the Milwaukee Bucks or like the Blazers. If the Blazers were in second place, the second best team in the NBA, and then they're like, hey, by the way, yeah, you're out. sorry, we decided that we're forming our own thing and you're not invited. Which, like I said, the closest thing is the college football. And if this happens, can you imagine the uproar if you had, because if they did this and you put together the top 30 teams, from a Pac-12 standpoint, you get USC, you probably get Oregon and maybe Washington that are allowed to come. Everyone else, bye.
Yep.
You imagine the absolute outrage. SEC, you're gonna get you'd get a handful, but you'd probably get six, maybe seven out of the SEC. But you're gonna get a lot of good programs that are gonna get left by the wayside here, and that's basically what you have over here.
Hey, USA Soccer may have a shot now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if all the best players aren't allowed to play for their country, our best players aren't playing in a lot of these the Super League teams.
Well, but U.S. would lose their best player, who plays for Chelsea. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
We can't even make the
Who's
GD
that?
Olympics.
Christian Pulisic.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
They didn't qualify for the Olympics.
Who?
The United States.
What? Yeah, but that's not all the top players playing.
They don't want to go to the Olympics.
Nobody cares about the Olympics.
Yeah, and they're not going to have the Olympics.
They are going to have the Olympics.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
they'll
cancel it.
They're
having them.
I don't know if you wanted to keep going on this or not, but I have a great clip I heard yesterday from Gary Neville, who's a Manchester United legend. He was talking over in England on Sky Sports, and it's 2 minutes, and I thought it was a really good
reaction. This is a big deal, folks. And it's interesting because in the United States, like, imagine if, like you said, you know, the Yankees and I was going to go broad all sports, but just one sport. Like, maybe we'll stick to college football. What would happen if the top 24, 32, I don't know, whatever the number is.
Broke away.
Broke away. What would that do? Would and then their player.
Well, for all of us, we're fans of schools that would for sure not be in that league.
100%.
My team ain't in that league.
So we're going to be watching what?
BYU can't even
useless
get
useless college football. Like,
I'm dead serious about this. I would be for it. I would be for it even
for
if
what?
For the
splitting off
the Super League in, yeah. in college football.
Okay. Is it the worst thing? All right, we'll get to that next. 5:37. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're discussing this super hot, dicey soccer story that is a story of, well, rich greed. And it is the big rich soccer clubs overseas want to form their own league and leave all the other little guys in the dust.
And some people think that this they'll kill off a lot of the smaller.
Right.
The smaller teams, that they'll wither and die.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
They're basically following the American model, which we're used to this over here, but it's like when you're in the NFL, you're the Detroit Lions, what is your incentive? I mean, you suck. You're terrible.
But you just make money.
But you continue, because you're an NFL franchise, yep. there are no repercussions for sucking. You continue to make money.
The best example
hand over fist.
The best example of this is Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling ran the Clippers for 2 decades and was maybe more. He owned that team for a long time. And it was the most futile franchise in all the sports and didn't care. And when he was finally forced out, what did he get for it? $2 billion. Owning a sports team, you don't have to be good. You're right. It is a license to print money. Small baseball teams do this all the time where they don't put any money back into the club, but they collect revenue sharing and they do just fine.
Yeah, so I guess my question regarding that would be, and this is a serious question for probably for Soccer Mike, because I don't know the answer to this, but how big is relegation to the major franchises? Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
That's going to fall. And down.
At least it unplugged itself. That's good.
Suk's going to grab it. We've got some technical issues here at Odyssey Radio.
An Odyssey station.
There's a clock yeah. that, by the way, is never on time. And it is sitting on the...
But that's its whole purpose.
Yeah, but it's always wrong. And the amount of times we fix it, it keeps getting wrong again. It just fell off of the wall, and it got unplugged from whatever it was.
Did you notice that it was taped onto the wall?
I just noticed that now because it was falling forward, and the tape was being ripped off.
An Odyssey station.
Hey, I don't know what that thing is.
That's the clock.
It's a clock.
Oh, that's the clock?
That's not correct.
I engineered...
It's never even on.
Yeah, so what is it?
It never works.
Oh, well, I just engineered
once again
an Odyssey station
because it was taped to the wall, and then I just put a chair up against it, so now it can't fall.
You're a hero.
Oh,
you're like a gall darn hero.
Like a regular Bob Vila. I thought that was something maybe important.
You were talking to me, Rob, and I couldn't hear words you were saying because I was
you
watching
just
this slowly fall.
I froze. I'm not gonna lie, I froze. I watched it slowly fall and was like, I probably could have gotten over there and grabbed it, but yeah. I'm hosting an award-winning radio show.
I
like
understand.
I can't just leave my hot sports takes and go.
I left you for the hot sports takes while I fixed it, although it sounds like you guys stopped and we're talking about what I was doing.
An Odyssey station.
What were you asking me, Isaac?
How big is relegation to the big clubs, these 12 to 15 or however many it is that are peeling off? Does relegation matter to them, or are they always, they're never relegated, right?
Generally speaking, no, they're never relegated. There was a time this year where in the Premier League, Arsenal, who is one of the big six that is pulling yeah. off, was teetering on the relegation zone and was incredibly bad. So, I mean, there's a chance that these teams with a particularly bad year could fall into the relegation zone. I think the best example in my mind, this is not a super rich team, but it was a team that for many years was at the top of the Bundesliga or competing at the top of the Bundesliga, is that's the German league, is Schalke. They are dead last, have lost so many games in a row, and are going to be relegated from the Bundesliga. And they were a team that just 3 years ago was top six, top five, and competing for Champions League spots. So maybe for these big, big, huge teams, it's not ever a true threat. But what it is
incentive.
A real incentive to not lose.
Yeah.
You got to put players in the field.
So here we're always talking about tanking.
Yeah.
That's kind of a never-ending dangling carrot over there that kind of helps solve that problem. They don't have that problem because if you do tank, you are going to be relegated.
Yeah, you're not allowed to pull a Houston Astros.
But
over
these
there.
Guys, these big boys like Chelsea or who, you know, all these clubs, they're basically just saying, hey, we don't care about relegation anyway.
We just don't need
we're
you.
Just going to, we don't need you. We're going to form our own league we're going to keep the money amongst ourselves and not have to share it with you. And then we don't, even if we have a bad season, we're already in, in the big boy club.
I understand that this sucks for soccer, that this is not a good thing, but it makes sense. I mean, and most of these, and I was kind of reading through today, and they're saying so many of these are owned by just investment groups and a lot of them by American investment groups. And this isn't about tradition and it's not about passion. And this is what burns is soccer over there is so entrenched and you feel terrible for these clubs. But this is just rich a-hole business guys doing what rich a-hole business guys do. And that squeezes every last dime out of this. If you don't think for a second that the Alabamas and LSUs and USCs and Oregons of the world given an option to triple their revenue by doing away with the Oregon States and the Washington States and the Purdue's of the world wouldn't jump on board if there weren't any other repercussions other than some people that are pissed off at you, they would do it in a heartbeat.
Well, they've already kind of done that. They've gone Power Five to Group of Five and split away. And it's only a matter of time before they go Power Five and split away from the next, you know, subset of, of hangers on, right? And well, Oregon State, unfortunately, is part of that.
And this is where someone said, what would you do because your team wouldn't be included in it? And mine wouldn't, yours wouldn't, Mike's wouldn't.
Syracuse, college football, I mean?
Yeah. BYU can't even get into one of the Power Fives.
Well, we'd be hoping for a good season to be called up to the big boy league.
I would.
If they do call ups.
They wouldn't.
Right.
Well, then I would be rooting again for my Jayhawks against Mike's Q's in the Who Gives a Rip Bowl.
But I don't
the problem is it's the Who Gives a Rip Bowl,
I don't
bowl,
think
right?
it would be, though. Maybe
well,
in
I'm
this
a fan
case,
of Kansas. I'm going to watch them.
But in the world of college football, if you told me that BYU was going to play in a league or a conference with Washington State, with Cal, with Oregon State, with Kansas, with Syracuse, and they were going to have their own national champion, I would be much more inclined to watch that.
Because your school is actually capable of winning it.
I know for a fact that BYU is not winning Jack S. It's not. They could have a perfect season and still not be invited to the dance. So if you're telling me that I don't have to compete against the Alabamas of the world anymore, I would totally be on board. And maybe once or twice a year, maybe you do get to go play one of those big games, or maybe the national titles, the two national title teams play in some sort of Super Bowl thing. Maybe there's a chance to prove yourself. But I would think that for a bunch of college football schools, I don't think this would be the worst thing in the world if it came to U.S. soil, because you would actually be more competitive. You would just have to accept the fact, and this may be the hard part for the Washington States and the Oregon States or, you know, the Arizonas of the world to swallow, but you aren't on the same level as Alabama and LSU, and you have never been, and you're not going to ever be.
Well, you're in AAA.
Yes.
Or AA.
But
that is hard to swallow.
But you are, and now with name, image, and likeness coming down the pipe here, and eventually just the pain of athletes, if you thought you were behind the eight ball now, you're not even going to be on the damn table here in a couple years. So why not play at a level that you could compete?
I would say that if that did happen in college football, you would probably see what a lot of people do in Europe for soccer is they have a favorite team locally, right, where they grew up. They might not be in the top division because they're one random team in whatever country you're in. So you root for that team, but you also root for a team in the top league.
Yeah.
When you have multiple favorite teams. So you would be a BYU fan and a blank fan in the Power Five.
When I lived over in Scotland.
He'd be a stupid Alabama front runner is what he'd be.
That's what all those guys.
That wasn't a no.
That's what all those guys did in Scotland. Like there was teams like Partick Thistle or Partick Thistle and Celtic and Rangers, and they had tremendous local pride for those, and they were just as passionate about theirs as they were, as anyone was for Arsenal or any of those.
Well, but that's also the top league in Scotland. That's a little bit different.
Partick Thistle is not though.
Well, yeah, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think the flip side to that argument though is, and this is something that you could talk about with the soccer stuff too, is you're losing the David Goliath storyline.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the great thing about playing in a Power Five conference for me is when Syracuse beat Clemson 2 years ago, that was insane.
Yeah, but
and I thought there was no way that was ever going to happen. So it was really, really fun to get to experience that. The same thing goes in soccer. Like, I'm a Southampton fan. They're a pretty mediocre average team in the Premier League, but they can any single day, any single Saturday, go in and beat one of the big six
teams. Didn't Leicester City win a...
They won a title a couple of years ago, yeah.
But this is
so
the,
it keeps that possibility afloat.
I get the David and Goliath thing. We all want to be Rocky. The problem that I have with that is we sit around and we pull out the three examples. Mike, you brought up Syracuse and Clemson. Give me another one. From Syracuse.
Clemson twice.
Exactly, right? It's... It's like we sit there and like BYU
Virginia
holds on
Tech.
BYU well, holds on to 1984 and we hold on to we beat Miami and when Miami was rolling with Steve Walsh and they were the defending national
champs.
But that's
part of being a fan.
But you hold on to that, but you have 40 years and we hold on to two things, right? And it's like this idea of getting kicked in the teeth for 30 years, but you get one moment. And by the way, at least BYU's moment in 84 was a national championship. Most of the time it's a meaningless. It's a meaningless victory against Clemson, you know, in a regular season.
I fall in between you two on this. I see both sides of the issue. What I would say is it's always going to be about money and greed.
Yes.
We know that here. We've seen that. We're used to it, which is why we're laughing at this. Like, yeah. Come on. Yeah. Of course,
welcome
this is
club.
What. Yeah, exactly. This, of course, this is what they're doing.
Yeah.
I wish that leagues would do a better owners or clubs or leagues or whomever is in charge. The rich, greedy guys would do a better job of thinking about the fans and product as well. Okay, and I think that's a combination of what you both are saying.
Yeah.
Look, yes, of course it's about money and greed, and you know we'll all figure it out, and I'm sure we'll all be fine, right? But there is some integrity to your product, right? There is something to your fan bases following your product because what you have put out there is really good as a league.
Yeah.
And part of that is the David and Goliath. Part of that is the little engine that could story. You know, it's like it's not always about money. There does have to be some balance with making sure fans, because they are the ones that are making that money for you, fans are happy. And I tell you what, this decision is universally panned over there.
I saw like
so
a,
I don't
there was
know.
A fan poll and it was like 94%. No.
So look, they may have just pissed in everyone's pot to the point where this won't happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I kind of hope that's the case because there is an element of, hey, this is really working. This is fans all over Europe and in other countries, generally outside of the US, because we're not all that into it over here, although we do have a lot of Americans who are into it. You are ruining their whole system that they follow and love and cherish. That matters.
Yeah.
Now, is that ever going to win out? No, but I hope that it does in this instance, in whatever form. But, you know, tickle me skeptical of that.
They tore down Yankee Stadium, right? I mean, but I guess you do have Fenway and you still have Wrigley. So, I mean, you sometimes tradition can win out, but I'm with you. It doesn't,
but I've always thought,
very much.
I've always thought that if, like the NBA, for example, if owners and the league weren't so greedy and it wasn't all about money. I think they make more money in the long run by focusing on putting a great product out that's going to grow the game and grow the fan bases, right? Like there's a lot of money out there to be had right now. So of course they'll never do that. Two steps back, you know, four steps forward, maybe. If the NBA reduced its regular season schedule, you tell me that's not a greater league, a much That's going to gain more fans. There's going to be much more urgency in the regular season, unlike now where everybody's hurt and mailing it in.
Yep.
It sucks right now. The NBA product sucks right now.
It's certainly not good.
There are ways to change that, but unfortunately, the way you change that would be taking money out of the pockets of the owners for down the road, making a better product that hopefully grows into something really popular. It's just they won't do that, and I just wish they would sometime. I wish they would look at the product and the baseline of what you are offering, improve that, and the money will come. Of course, they don't think like that.
No, it's about what you can get right now. And what these Super League teams can get right now is a $4 billion advance.
That's right. And this is a great text. This is the worst idea ever for the majority of soccer fans. It only works for the richest. And that is BS. This would be like our country having a few people with over half the wealth in the country and refusing to let the other half even make enough to eat food. Oh, wait. Oh, there goes the computer again.
The chair didn't work.
Come on, Sook. Save the
day. The chair did work. It did not fall.
Save the day.
It just tilted.
Okay, we got to go. We have one more segment, and we're going to hear this clip from some bozo overseas about this next on The Fan.
This is Who's Money in Sports. A look at winning performances and the coaches, players, and teams who get it done. Brought to you by Guild Mortgage.
Curry probing at the Celtics logo. He's dangerous from there. Against Grant Williams, finds a spot for three and hits his 10th of the night. Five times this year, Steph Curry with 10 triples. He's got 44.
Damn, he did it again?
Yeah, he's,
God.
He's ridiculous.
That guy's so good.
Yep.
Love watching him.
And it's kind of funny that just a year ago, people forgot about how good he was, and he had to remind everyone this year.
Yeah, but they were like 500, right?
Yeah.
So who really cares?
Yeah, they're not.
Scott and Brian at Guild Mortgage. Find the loan to fit your life. Go to homeloansbyscottandbrian.com. Select from hundreds of loan products tailored to fit your needs. Homeloansbyscottandbrian.com.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, one more thing here on this topic today. Who is Gary Neville? Go.
Gary Neville. I got nothing.
Brother of Aaron Neville.
Oh, then I do know that Neville.
No, he's not. I'm just kidding.
Manchester United legend. Right back. Played for them. 400 appearances for the team.
Okay, this is what he said.
That Gary Neville. 400 appearances. I mean, who didn't know that?
You didn't see any of those?
I thought he played left back. I was confused. But he plays right back as opposed to right forward.
Right wing.
So Mike.
Striker.
That's a position.
Hey, look at that.
Good job.
Mike, you like this?
Yeah, I saw this last night when this news started breaking. I think he said this prior to the official news, but on the same day. And I just really, really enjoyed hearing this from a guy who is a legend for one of the big teams leaving and as someone who's been a commentator on Sky Sports over there for years.
They've got no loyalty to this country and these leagues. Enough is enough. You just hit the nail on the head there. Enough is enough. There isn't a football fan in this country that won't be seething and shouldn't be seething listening to this conversation and these announcements. Manchester United fans, you know, Roy loves United. I love United. Michael loves Manchester City. You know, this is disowning your own club stuff, this. This is disowning your own club. Seriously. How could you even think to come and watch a Super League here where you've left your 14 clubs in the Premier League behind to play against each other? Your Championship club's dead. Your EFL 1 and 2 club's dead. Your National League, your pyramid system that you've fought for over 150 years has gone because of six clubs. Absolutely embarrassing. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Let them break away, but honestly, punish them straight away. Just punish them. If they announce a letter of intent has been signed as six clubs, they should be punished heavily. Massive fines, points deductions, take the titles off them. Who cares? Give the title to Burnley, Fulham. Let Fulham stay up. Relegate United, Liverpool and Arsenal. Because them three clubs, to be fair, are the history of this country. They should be the ones that should suffer most. Yet Chelsea, City, new money in the game. They've sort of come forward. I'm not happy with them either, let's be clear. Tottenham, I'm not really that bothered about. You know, Manchester United, Liverpool and Arsenal, they should know better. The history and tradition that runs through those three clubs is absolutely enormous. I value it. I value the history and tradition that runs through those three clubs. But I tell you what, they leave a lot to be desired at this moment in time, the three of them. And Liverpool Football Club. I mean, seriously. You go on the streets of Liverpool. I mean, I have a great relationship with them. Oh, don't like them. Don't like me. But you know one thing I always thought about them? They were honest. They had integrity. They would look after the people. They'd look after their own. That's gone. Forget that. If they sign that letter of intent, they're as bad as the rest of them.
Yeah, all right.
He's very angry.
That's Gary Neville's thought.
Yes. And by the way, all that stuff makes sense, but this is, again, about money. So,
yeah. So you think it's going to happen, guys, to wrap this up?
I don't know enough about this to see. It sure seems like there is a lot of resistance to this.
I don't think they expected quite as much resistance as they got. So but there was still a push to start it in August. So
I'm going with that there will be some sort of middle ground, that this is a bold posturing thing, and they will use this to get some sort of better terms for themselves. But everything I've read, the blowback on this is tremendous, and I don't think they'll have the balls to go through with it.
I think if it does happen, it will be delayed. Because you can't have a Super League without the best teams in Germany and France.
I guess I was reading, too, that Germany can't do this. That Germany's clubs are all, the majority, controlled by local entities, not they call it like the 50 plus one rule. Someone was saying, look that up. Germany is kind of like the Green Bay Packers. Then investors are only allowed to have 49% of it. So unless the locals are on board with this, and it sounds like no one is, the Germany's best teams wouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah. And those are, you know, Bayern Munich, one of the best teams in the world. Borussia Dortmund, one of the best up-and-coming teams in the
world. Who's winning? What is occurring?
You can't not have those teams.
You
so
can't.
I'd say
it would, be, have it.
It would be, if it happens, yes, it'll be delayed because of this reaction.
Okay. The oldest American has passed. On to the next plane, Jason. Do you know how old she was?
107.
No. That's wrong.
Another one.
108. And 104.
No. Whatever happened to Rick Steves? Coming up next on the club, or in the club, on the Fan.